giving. Now, I remember as a kid, and I'm sure some of you do too, you ever heard this statement, you know, check your attitude or watch your attitude. Anybody told that before? You know, watch your attitude, young man, or to you ladies, you know, watch your attitude, girl. Or this would be said, an attitude check. You know, attitude check. You ever heard that? I know in school we heard that a lot. Attitude check, and everybody would have to, you know, because people's attitudes would get. And I think that's one thing our world needs, especially our nation needs, an attitude check right now with everything going on. I've been seeing some stuff on social media, you know, before and against what's going on, and some of the attitudes and some of the disrespect. That's the thing I cannot stand. I don't care who won. I mean, I do, but I mean, in spite of who wins or who loses, you cannot be disrespectful to one another. That's the problem with our nation, is the disrespect that's going on. But when it comes to us, okay, the church, the people of God, in this time of Thanksgiving, now we can go back and look at the history of Thanksgiving, and we could talk about all that, but most of us all know that. We learned that in school. But the fact of the matter is, in spite of what happened and how Thanksgiving, the holiday came about, the Bible was talking about Thanksgiving long before the pilgrims came to this country. The Bible is filled with the phrase thanks and giving. And really, here's the thing. When you break those words down, and I'm going to really talk about that a lot today, but think about that. Thanksgiving. Do we really give thanks? But thankfulness also comes with giving. There's two types of people in this world, givers and takers. Which way are you? Because a giver is always going to be seeking ways to give to others, helping others, blessing others, thinking more about others than themselves. And then you have those takers that are all about themselves. What can you do for me? What can the church do for me? What can my nation do for me? And they always have a handout looking for something. Give me, give me, give me. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, give and it shall be given. In order to get something, you got to give something. Now, the one thing that we got freely with real, you know, but in a sense, it's free, but when you really get down detailed to receive the free gift of salvation, we really got to give ourselves to Christ. We give ourselves to Him, He freely gives it. Now, that free salvation means there's no criteria. We just give ourselves. That's it. We don't have to meet a certain criteria. We don't have to meet a certain standard. I don't have to jump through some hoops or go through a process to be saved. I just say, Lord, I give you myself and He saves us. Praise God. But having an attitude, and this morning, go ahead and you got that up. Yeah. I want to talk about thanking God for our past. We got to learn how to thank God for our past. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, is thanking God for our past. Think about your story. I'm going to get in. If you have your Bibles, go to 1 Chronicles 16. I'm going to read there in just a second. But think about where you come from. Most of you probably came from this area, this community. You know, this morning, Randy, right? Randy, was it Brother Randy? And Eve, what was it? Eva. Okay. I met them this morning, and he asked me, where are you from? And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you know, I'm thinking all the path I came from. You know, I'm from born and raised in California, but I came through California, Missouri, New Mexico, Louisiana. You know, I mean, it's like I'm in my fifth state, fourth time zone in my lifetime. I've lived in all four time zones now. And yes, I'm from California. Please don't hold that against me. I got out, okay? Just to settle the record. I got out many years ago. I broke free from the asylum. But I think about where I come from. Small, a little small area in California. It's not so small anymore. But I think about my hometown, my home area, and where God brought me from, and all the things I've been through. All of us can sit here and reminisce about our past, of where God brought us from. And that's something we really got to think about, is where God brought us from, but why do I need to be thankful for my past? And that's something I want to kind of look at as we go through. Let's look at this, our text this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning at verse 8. David is singing a song this morning of thanksgiving, okay? 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning at verse 8. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him. Talk of all his marvelous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hands of those who rejoice, who seek the Lord, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore." I think this is a pertinent word for today, for this time we live in. He goes on and says, "Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever and the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, 'To you I will give the land of Canaan as an allotment of your inheritance, when you were a few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it.' When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked the kings for their sake, saying, 'Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, and all the gods of all the people or the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is also firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, 'The Lord reigns.' Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, 'Save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting.' And all the people said, 'Amen,' and praise the Lord." Let us pray. Father, we come to you to give you praise. We come to you here today, Lord, to give you honor and glory. We come here today to hear your word and let your spirit abide and speak to our hearts. We come here today, Lord, to hear a word, a rhema word for our life. Lord, to give thanks to you, to remember where you brought us from. I pray, O God, today as I stand before you and stand before your people, that you would anoint me in spite of me and that you would touch me, Lord. Touch my lips and let me speak, Lord God, of the oracles directed by the Holy Spirit this morning to touch and to feed us, O God, to give us a word, Lord, for today and to help us, O God. Change us, challenge us, we pray. We pray, O God, let your perfect will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. So where did you come from? He talked about remember the Lord. Remember what he has done for you. Think about when we got saved. Think about where we come from when we were saved. Think about the time, the moment, the hour, the service when we got saved and gave our life to the Lord. Can you all turn me down just a little bit? Because I'm going to get louder and louder and louder. And so I know we're recording. There we go. There we go. Yeah. I feel like I'm blasting myself, and I'm sure I'm blasting everybody else. Why do we need to remember God for our past? Think about it. Why do I need to remember? Why do you remember about your anniversary? Why do we remember about birthdays? I know some of you want to forget about them. But remember, listen, we need to learn how to celebrate again. When you read the Old Testament, you read the Bible, for the New Testament for that matter, when you read the scriptures, you see a lot of effort and attention put into celebrations. There was a lot of attention put into the various feasts. There was a lot of attention put into the Passover. And we look at those and we think in our Pentecostal charismatic ways that we don't need to do all those things, and we, you know, that's old school. We've evolved. But when you think about it, and when you go back and study those feasts and those festivals, they were done for a reason, and part of the reason was to remember what God has done for them. And when we think about and celebrate our birthdays, it's not just, hey, I've reached, you know, I'm another year older, but we need to look at it as God has kept me another year. God has brought me to another milestone in my life. Even an anniversary, even any of these milestones that we reach, we need to remember that God has had a hand in getting us to that step. I think one of the things I think we need to celebrate more than anything, not just birthdays, but I think anniversaries. You know, it's amazing to me when people ask, you know, Sherry and I, how long we've been married, and we tell them, they go, oh, wow, that's so amazing. And I look at that, you know, thinking, why is it so amazing that we've been married for so long? It's, and part of the reason is, it's because longevity in marriage is more, it's not the norm anymore. People don't stay together like they used to. We need to learn how to celebrate these milestones and celebrate these things. Because when we remember the past, it reminds us what God has done for us. We got to remind ourselves, what has God done for us? We can sit here today and we can look at the news and we can look at all the events going on and cry and have ourselves a pity party. But when we do that, we begin to forget of the things that God has done for us in the past. Hello? Philippians 1:3 says, Paul says, I thank God every time I remember you. Do you thank God for one another? Hello? Do you thank God for one another? I thank God you're here. You should thank God that you're here. You should thank God that somebody sitting next to you is here. We need to thank God that, listen, we're together, that if the world may be falling apart, but the church is still unified. The church is still together. We need to thank God for one another. Paul goes on in 1 Thessalonians. He said, we always thank God for you all, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and our Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you. Jesus said, by this all men may know that you are my disciples because you have love for one another. Well, in order to have love for one another, we got to thank God for one another. Like I said last week, we may not all see eye to eye. We may not all get along like we should, like we think we should. But the fact of the matter is, we're all in this together. We're part of the body of Christ. We're part of the family of God. And we got to learn how to thank God for one another. Hello? The next thing does, it reminds us. Go to the next one. It reminds us, it reminds me who God is. It causes me to reflect. When I think of what God has done for me, it reminds me who He is. He is God, and I'm not. Hello? Let me say that again. He's God, and you're not. I know some of you would like to go, but, you know, and there's a lot. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to sit here and be all holier now. I'm not, you know, but there's a lot of times, you know, there's been times the last few days, that, Lord, why don't you just come down? You know, I read in the Bible, you just opened the earth and swallowed a bunch of heathens up. God, there's a bunch of heathens over there. Why don't you just do it one more time, Lord? And then God reminds me, I died for them just like I died for you. I'm God, you're not. Hello. You see, when we remember who He is and who we are, then it begins to keep things in perspective. I come to Him and I seek Him and I talk to Him and I remember that He is working out for my best interest. It takes a little rain for things to grow. And any time when you read and study church history, any time the church felt persecuted or came under persecution, that's when the church really began to flourish. And so we just need to look at this time of persecution. And yes, the church has been under persecution for quite some time. And what it should be reminding us is it's time for the church to get back on their face before God and get on their knees and say, God, let the church arise and let our enemies be scattered. Let us come and get focused on what we need to do again. Psalms 30 says, sing praise to the Lord, all you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Psalms 97 says, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Now, do we give thanks to God for His name? Do we thank Him for what He's done? Do we thank Him for who He is? Was it last Sunday we sang Jehovah Jireh? Because of who You are, I give You glory. Because of who You are. You see, we give thanks. Those who really love God are going to give Him thanks, not because of what He does for us, but because of who He is. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Are we going to, though ungodly people get into government, do we still trust Him? Do we still thank Him? Hello? I know it's tough. Trust me. It's tough to say, you know, I know people say, that's not my president. That's not my president. Listen, if you're an American, that's your president. Just like Obama, just like Bush, I don't care, Democrat, Republican, it don't matter. They're still your president. You still need to pray for them. You still need to respect them. We still need to pray, God, get a hold of them. I don't agree with their politics, but I still pray for them. Because that's my responsibility, not just as an American, but as a child of God. I'm called upon to pray for my leaders. And if I really trust God, then I trust God put them in there for a reason. Hello? And yet, Pastor, are you not scared? Oh, yeah. I'm concerned. I'm not scared. I'm concerned. I'm not concerned about Biden as I am the other one. No, not because she's a woman, but because of her pattern and the persecution she'll bring upon the church. But I still come back and say, God, you know, I was thinking this morning, and God began to remind me, and before we came here, I was doing a teaching on Wednesday night down in Louisiana on the history of the church, doing a little historical theology study. And when you look at the early church, going into the book of Acts and the New Testament church, you see that growth came under persecution. But when you fast forward a little bit, you see that in the days of Nero,
the church, the Christians, was heavily persecuted. Many Roman emperors persecuted the church. But even after the New Testament disciples died out and the second generation, what we call the early church fathers, began to emerge, even they came under scrutiny. Many of them became martyrs. Many of them died for their faith. And you go on throughout all history, many people, men, women, died for the faith. And even we fast forward into the modern era of the Pentecostal age and even our own Church of God, we began to see how many people were persecuted because of Pentecost. And I looked at that, and I was thinking about that this morning, thinking, Lord, if all of them still endured the persecution and some even of them died because of their faith, then why are we whining and crying about what we're facing now? Amen. I know we don't want to go through persecution. I know we don't want to go through pain. I know we want everything to go our way. But church, we got to remind ourselves the days are evil, and the reason they're evil is to serve a purpose and to remind the church that Jesus Christ is coming soon, and we better get ready. But until I look at my past and remind myself of where I come from and where he's brought me from, I will never look at the future in the right way. God is God. Man may cheat, man may steal, man may do despicable things. But it doesn't catch God off guard. Read your Bibles. Anybody remember a ruler by the name of Ahab and Jezebel? Hello? I'm sure they were upstanding leaders. But did God's will prevail? Yes. So don't worry. Look back. Look at the past. Be thankful for where he's brought us from. Be thankful for where he's bringing us to. We got to get this attitude of thanksgiving into our heart and quit whining and crying about what may or may not happen. Move on, Pastor. Okay. Next one. Thankfulness or thanksgiving helps me gain access into his presence. You see, until I get an attitude of thanksgiving, I ain't going nowhere in my walk with God. I will stand outside crying always. Think about this. Do complainers get anything done? Don't look at anybody. Just look up here if they're here. Don't do that. We're going to pray for them. But complainers don't get anything done. And it's amazing to me, you know, when you're doing any work and those that sit, those that want to tell you how to do things all the time are never the ones that do anything. Don't look at them. Look up here. But you see, when I have an attitude of thankfulness, it gets me access. Psalms 95, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. You can go through the book of Psalms 100 or the chapter of the 100 Psalms, and you see again the psalm being written about giving thanks to the Lord, continually offering praises. And when we offer praises and we get that attitude of thanks, we begin to forget about the situation and the circumstances and get our eyes and our mind upon God. And when we get our mind, you say, well, Pastor, you get so heavenly minded, you get no earthly good. No, hold on. Walk with me on this. You see, when I get my mind upon God, I get God's perspective of the situation. I may panic. I may get all scared, or I may get all concerned, but when I get God, I get into his presence and I get the mind of God and get the eyes of God on the situation, that I begin to see God's path and God's mindset and God's, that he's got this. And then he reminds me that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And I begin to see that God's really got this and I don't need to worry about it. Hello? What's shameful is sometimes we only get in God's presence on Sundays or anytime we come to church. Yeah, I got quiet on that one. Some people live like heathens Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday. And then they come in, they're all, oh, holy God. Come on now. Say amen or oh me, one of the two. I can't live Sunday to Sunday in his presence and expect to make it through the week. Mm-mm. How many eat every day? Only two of you? Really? We're going to take up an altar call right now for those that just lie. No, I'm kidding. Everybody eat every day? Okay. I know there's times when we call for a fast, people say, oh, Pastor, I can't fast because I got to take my medicine. I got to do this. I got to. Yeah, I get that. But if we have to eat every day, why do we need to eat every day? Because I get headaches or I get tired, I get weak, I get whatever, okay? Everybody breathe every day, right? I'm just checking. I love my Apple Watch. It tells me every now and then, I got to breathe. Oh, I stopped breathing, I guess. I don't know. But if I need to eat every day, I need to breathe all the time. Well, I need God's presence just as bad as I need to eat and breathe. And when I can't, you know, the Bible says this, I'm reminded, he said, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. In the world of chaos, in the world of trouble, in the world of confusion, in the world of all this junk going on, it's easy to get caught up in fear and get caught up in this confusion and get caught up in this muck and all this junk going on. But if my mind is upon him and I have continually upon him, then I have that peace, and that peace of God that passes all understanding begins to take over my life, and I get into his presence and I'm thankful for who he is, and I'm thankful that he's still upon the throne. I'm thankful for what he's done and what he's going to do. Lord, I know you brought me through all these things of my past. I know you brought me through things, and if you brought me through all this, you're going to take me through what I am going through right now. And so it gets me into his presence and reminds me he will take us through this. Let's move on. You see, Thanksgiving is not just about words. I always say, talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. Or my wife, who's from Missouri, for those that don't know, it's called the Show Me State. And every time she asked me to do something, I said, I'll get to it. She always reminds me, she's a Missourian, and she says, show me. That's her words of saying, do it. Don't just tell me you're going to do it. Do it. We could talk about loving God all day long. We could talk about we're Christians all day long. But do our actions back up our words? Hello? You see, let's get real for a second. Look at our communities, our families. I'm sure many of you have unsaved loved ones, right? And many of them are panicking on what may or may not happen. They may be on both sides, you know, some on both sides. And they're wondering what this world's going to hold, what's going to happen, what's going to, you know, oh my gosh, you know, everything's going to crash, everything. But they need stability. They need a holy man or a holy woman of God. And I'm not talking about the pastor. As Christians and as believers, we are all called to be holy men and holy women of God. We hold the truth with us, not just his word here in a book, but here in our hearts. We live and abide with the Holy of Holies, with the Holy One, the Messiah, the Christ. Hello? And if we are the holy men and the holy women of God, We're the ones that are called to stand up in the middle of chaos, in the middle of the storm. Do we not realize, you know, when you look at the parable or the story when Jesus stood up in the middle of the storm and he said, peace be still, we sometimes people attribute that as the pastor or the leader of the church, when in essence it wasn't the pastor or the leader, it's supposed to be all believers. When he said, greater works than these you will do because I go to my Father in heaven, he wasn't just speaking to leaders, he was speaking to believers. Hello? And that if ever there's a time for someone to stand up in the middle of the storm and raise their hand and say, peace be still, I believe it's now. And it's not just one or two. It's the church of the living God to stand up and say, look, God is still in control of this thing. And the reason we can do that and the reason we can say that is because we remember where he's brought us from. I got to move on. We are to offer up thanksgiving through our prayer. We're to offer up. Go to the next one. Next one. I'm sorry, I wasn't watching back there. We're to offer up thanksgiving in prayer. You guys are doing good back there. You're doing good. We're to offer thanksgiving. When you pray, do you thank God? Think about your prayer life for a minute. When you pray, do you say, God, I need this, this, and this? Your prayer consists of your laundry list or your shopping list, or for some of you, your Amazon list of what you want. But in that prayer, is there any time you say, God, I thank you for what you brought me through? Lord, I had a hard week, but thank you, you brought me through it. Lord, I had a difficult day, but thank you, I'm still standing. Lord, the doctor gave me a bad report, but I thank you, you are the great physician. Lord, I thank you that even though what the world may say is one thing, but your word tells me something different, and I'm going to stand up on it, and I thank you, oh God, that I have your word as my rock and my foundation. You see, if all we do is ask, gimme, gimme, gimme from God, then we need to start rethinking how we pray. And when you begin to change your prayer, your praise begins to change. When you have incorporate thanksgiving into your prayer life, it will transform into your praise, and you will begin to thank him for the day. You will thank him for the beautiful scenery, for the beautiful earth that we live in, for things that are around us. We thank him for things that is going on. Not just for family and friends, but we begin to thank him for more things. You know, I shared last week, all three of our kids have some medical issue. Comes from Sherry's side. I'm kidding. I could sit here and cry all day long. I remember when our son, he got first diagnosed with Crohn's at the age of 12. He lost 40 pounds in just a matter of a few months. This active 12-year-old that was bouncing off the walls, playing baseball, was hurting every time he ate a meal. He'd eat a bite or two, and then he'd stop because his stomach would hurt. And I remember thinking back to that time when we were walking through that, and I thought, God, help us. Why? And I that was my prayer. God, why? Why would you do this to this 12-year-old boy? Why would you do that? And then I found myself really begin to thank him, Lord, when the doctor said, you know, this is chronic, he'll deal with this the rest of his life. And I thought, and I mean, come on, any parent, you're going to, you know, you get upset, you get mad. You know, my baby, my perfect child is now battling something. But God reminded me, and Sharon and I, we walked through this together, and we thought, you know what? At least he'll get to grow up. It could have been worse. He could have had cancer and died before the age of 18. Think about it. When our daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, we walked through the same thing, and God, we're thinking, well, Lord, okay, she monitors this, she walks through this, takes care of herself, she'll be fine. She'll live a normal, you know, a fine life, a perfectly fine life. She got to be a little more careful with things, but I thought, Lord, at least she's still alive. And she's married, and she's got a beautiful husband. You all met them last week. And God has used her and her story to touch thousands of people. And she continues to minister to several. And I think she's in ministry now. And I thank God for that. Lord, okay, thank you. This helped direct her path. And church, we can look at things bad and say, oh, well, I've got this and I've got that. But we can say, well, God can use anything for his glory. God can use anything. You know, it's how we perceive it and how we thank him for it. Do I cry about it or do I praise him for it? Now, I know somebody, Lord, thank you, I got this. Thank you, I got that. Thank you, I got this disease or that disease. No, I get that. We want to be healed. Listen, I still pray for healing for my babies. I pray for healing for them. God, heal them. If not, your will be done. I still will praise you. I still will thank you. I still will give you glory because you're still God. You know what's best. But you see the difference between having a thankful heart versus not? You see? There's a difference. I mean, we all battle things. You look at somebody and you think, well, they're perfectly healthy. I knew a man years ago. You look at this guy, he's a big old burly guy, tall, muscular, strong. You look at him and thinking, there's nothing wrong with him. But he was knocking on death's door because of a heart issue. And a few years later, he died because of it, because he could not get the help because they'd look on the outside and not realize what was going on the inside. So we never know the story. But in all things, give him thanks. Amen? Let's go move on. Offer thanksgiving in voice. You see the thing about with our voice? Back up a second. God gave us a voice, right? This is the one thing I think is the one of the key issues for the church. And that is, many times in Scripture, you will see the Bible says, lift up your voice, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And I've been in church services and places where people, I'd say, you know, lift up your voice, and you hear just one or two lift up their voice. We don't realize the power that is in our voice. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Are you with me? So if we believe that, that scripture, and if we don't open up our voice, our mouths, and speak, let me throw this out to you too. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What comes out of here is heard here. And so if we pray, and we don't pray aloud, what happens? Our faith is not built. And if we praise, and we don't praise aloud, then we're not really here. Our faith isn't built as well. Let me take this one step further. I can go all day long on this one. But if we don't offer thanksgiving aloud, what does that do? I'm not hearing what I'm saying. And so do I really believe what I'm saying or what I'm supposed to be saying? Plus, here's the other side of the story. As Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. I remember as a young boy in my home church hearing some of the dear saints of God pray and give testimony and praise and shout and sing and all these other things. And it built, as a young boy, it built my faith because I seen some of these older ones in the Lord demonstrating what worship is to be. We got a lot of kids around here. Not just in age, but in also spiritual kids. And they need to hear the saints of God pray, praise, shout, sing, testify. I can go on and on. We need to lift up our voice and let our voices ring out and let our faith be echoed, and so others can hear and build up their faith, because it helps the body when we speak out. Let me go on. We offer thanksgiving in song. We offer thanksgiving as sacrifice. Oh, sacrifice. Even when I don't feel it. Even when I'm not feeling it. Even though I'm not wanting to. Even though I'm not wanting to do it. You put those scriptures up back up. Ephesians 1:16, it do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention you in my prayers. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. Everybody say all things. Let's say that again. Giving thanks in all things to God the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. In all things give thanks. Now go back on, go home and turn on the news and give thanks for that. Pastor, you can go all day long and not say that. I know it. Because I turn on the news and I get aggravated just like you, but I got to say, Lord, you're in control. I don't care what they say. You're still in control. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Oh, here, this is the word for the day. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. You got it. Be anxious for nothing. I got to move on. Thanking God for my past. I'm going to wrap this up. Thanking God for my past helps me remember my heritage. This is an important thing right here. We have a heritage. How many grew up in church? Think about your church services growing up. Think about the services we had. I know sometimes we don't have them like we used to. But then again, I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying I remember some good old services back then. But I'm not living in the past. Hear me. Stay with me a minute. I think the worst thing we can say, well, in the good old days, if you said that, well, hold on to your boots. I'm going to step on it. In the good old days, we used to do this, this, and this. I'm not going to say ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you all said that? Don't raise your hands. But then I say, the word of God says, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. So what happened to the good old days? God didn't change. Oh, boy, here we go. The thing that changed was not God. Well, that's the preacher's fault. Sure. Listen, I've been in some services. I knew God was moving, and I was ready to move, but people weren't. And then I've been in a service where people were ready to move, but the minister wasn't. I get that. I understand. The fault lies on both sides of the aisle, but the fact of the matter is the fault lies with us, not God. God is the same God. He's still the same power. His power hasn't diminished. We just sang earlier, the blood hasn't lost its power. And so if God hasn't changed and the power hasn't been diminished, the fact of the matter is we're more concerned about the time of getting out of here so we can get to the restaurant than we are for a move of God. I know, I get it. You know, we don't need to drag things on if they're not going to happen. But if God's moving, let's wait upon the Lord. We're such a high-paced, fast-paced society. We want things, you know, we want a drive-through service. Let me get my message, let me get my songs, let me get my Jesus fix, and let me move on. When the Lord says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm not saying we got to preach 5 hours and, you know, expect and sing for three more and then expect God to move. No. God can move in one song. God can move in one message. God can move in one saying. God can move in one testimony. God can move when people's heart are prepared. See, that's what it comes down to, is coming in with an attitude of thanksgiving, coming in with remembering what God has done for us, coming in, remember all those things. Because when we think about our past and our heritage, I think about all the forefathers, and I said earlier, all the things that they did and all the things that they endured, all the things they went through, all the things that they fought, all the persecution, all the hardships. I mean, let's get down to it. You go back to some of the late 1800s, early 1900s, the crude surroundings that they had. Some of them didn't even have a building. Some of them didn't have lights. They had sawdust floors and rough-cut lumber pews. Hello. And they worship God. I've been in some countries, third world countries. I've been to El Salvador several times, and I've seen crude surroundings. I've seen where all they would carry their instruments to service. There was one plug-in so they can plug in the PA system, which they carried. There were no air conditioning. There was just, many times we were lucky we had a roof and we had walls, but there was open air. But they came and they walked for miles. One church I was in a couple years ago, the pastor lived several miles away and he had to hitchhike to get to service. 5 miles every service to get there. But people would come from the woodwork. I can show you pictures. We went down. We built a brand new sanctuary for them. But the old one, they had bamboo walls about so high up, a metal roof. The pulpit, you ready for this? Was a tree that had a fork in it, and they kept the stump and the fork. It's about that high, and then they took two boards and they nailed in there. They cut the rest of them off, and they took two boards and just put a V shape. That was a pulpit. I got a picture of me standing before that. That was a pulpit. And they worshiped God. They didn't care. It was hot. We sweated. We fanned ourselves. We swatted flies and everything else that was in there. One service I was in, dogs came in. It didn't matter. Animals came in. You know, I counted them on my report. I preached to two dogs. I'm sure they got saved that time. But we had church. We prayed. We worshiped. We sang. We didn't care. So for all the things that people go through and all the things that our forefathers and our grandmothers and our grandfathers went through and all those that came before us, listen, we are setting up a heritage for the young folk that when we are dead, God should tarry, that when we're dead in God, what's the legacy that we're going to leave for them? And part of that's going to be thankful for what you got. Thankful for the heritage. Thankful for the things that are here. You see, in order to enjoy the presence, we have to have a hope for the future, but we need to be thankful for the past. I'm getting ready to close. John 11, 41 says this, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. How many of us say that when we pray? Or do we say, Lord, do you hear me? I'm sure most of us have prayed that a time or two before. Hey, God, here am I. Hello. God, do you remember me here? You know what I'm going through? Or do we pray, Lord, I thank you. You hear me. When he said, I never will leave you nor forsake you, he meant it. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So be thankful for that. It's amazing to me that we can be thankful for the past on some things, but in the present, we forget the past. That's why I'm bringing this out today, is if we forget what happened yesterday, then we won't be able to thank him for today. You know that old song, you know, show me where you brought me from? And where I could have been. Remind me, oh Lord. Remind me where you brought me from. And that's my prayer today. Lord, remind us where you brought us from. Listen, some of us have come through some hard times. Some of us have come through some hard roads. Some of us have been through some things. Some of us have been through hell and high water. Some of y'all have been through some things that would scare others if you told them. All of us have battles. All of us have things we've gone through. All of us have things that we faced. All of us have sometimes our secret battles that nobody knows but God and us. I know through COVID, a lot of people have talked about how the suicide rate has went up because everybody's been closed in and we don't have that interaction anymore. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, help us, because some of these, you know, the church, we have one another. But those that don't have church, that don't have that interaction, that's the ones that are killing themselves. They don't have somebody. But thanks be to God, we've got somebody. Not just our church, but we've got our Lord, our Savior, our friend. That reminds us he's always there. So Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful." And I like what 2 Corinthians says. He says, "Thanks be to God for his incredible gift." I don't know if I got that up there. Yeah, I do. His incredible gift. His incredible gift. What is gift? Him. The gift is Jesus. The incredible gift of Jesus. The incredible gift that he brings to me, that he is a friend that will stick closer than a brother. The incredible gift that he will never leave me or forsake me. The incredible gift that no matter what I go through, he will be with me. The incredible gift is that if I leave this life, if I take my last breath in this body, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, as Paul stated. But in that incredible gift that he is always there and he will see me through this. He has brought me this far. And he will bring me through it. One final thing, and I'm going to stop. Come on. Just start playing real softly for a minute, please. I don't have this up there, I don't think. But I want you to, this is Romans 1, 20 and 21. This is from the New Living Translation. He says this. This is a warning for those that are thankless, okay? The thankless people. Romans 1 in the New Living, it says, forever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Verse 21 says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas for what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. My friend, if you don't begin to have an attitude of thanksgiving, and like I said, the next couple Sundays, I'm going to be talking about this. Next week, I'm going to be talking about thanking God for the present situations. But right now, we got to thank God for what he's brought us from and thank God for our past. I know some people say, well, Pastor, you don't know my past. It's filled with hurt. It's filled with pain. And to you, I say, yeah, I know, I understand, but you're still standing. The devil thought he'd take you out, but God says, no, you're still here. You're still standing. So every pain of your past, every hurt you've been through, every moment you wish you could erase, just say, God, I give it to you, and I thank you for them because they made me who I am today. I'm not perfect, but I'm yours, and you're mine. And you have a plan and a purpose for me. And you will use every painful memory, everything of my past, and all that's doing is bringing me closer and closer to you. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I just thank you. Let's remember, oh God, what you brought us from. Our past, every hurt. Every good and every bad and painful memory all serve the same purpose. It brought us to you. And God, if we don't get an attitude of thanksgiving, God, we'll never appreciate where we are today, and we will never appreciate where you're taking us to. Not just today and not just because of November, but Lord, always, every month of the year, every day of the year, every day I wake up, God, you want us to wake up saying, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for another opportunity. Thank you, oh God, where you brought us from. God, I pray today that you begin, that you have challenged us to get this attitude, having a thankfulness in our spirit. For Lord, you know what our past, you know everything about us, everything about our past, everything about where we've been through. Let's just thank you for it and give you glory for it. Lord, right now, as we prepare for your altar, Father, just prepare every heart and every mind. You're preparing them right now. We just pray, let the Holy Spirit have liberty right now. I just want to pray right now, here in just a second, for those, if you've been dealing with your past, you say, yeah, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I'm still having trouble with my past. I'm having trouble thanking God for it. I need an attitude check, an attitude adjustment. I want you to come and stand this morning. I believe, you've seen me last week and last time we were here. I believe in laying on the hands. I believe praying for the saints. I don't take a lot of time. But if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I need prayer for my past. God wants to for you to help you see the good and see his hand at work in your past. If you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I want to give God thanks for my past. I just need his help doing so. I want you to come right now and stand. Before we change the order of the service, before we move forward, I'm just going to wait just a few moments. I don't take a lot. I don't dwell a lot. But if you're here this morning and need prayer, we're going to pray for you. Father, just have your way. Lord, I thank you for my past. I thank you where you brought me from. Anyone else? Have your way, Lord. I'm gonna ask some saints of God to come and stand behind these and help me pray over them this morning.
Just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard me pray. I just want to thank you for all